Hold it, fellas. That don't move me. Let's get real, real gone for a change.
It's time to get real gone on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. Here's your host, James Riley.
This is Jam and James Riley on your favorite hour for great music and interviews. It's the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. Now coming up, we're speaking with Pat Stack and Brent Huff from the upcoming documentary, It's a Rockabilly World. And hearing a couple of tunes from that documentary as well, we have brand new tracks from Danny B. Harvey, Eileen Quinn, and the Leapin' Lizards, and so much more, including this brand new track from one of the most incredible acts you're likely to witness in concert, Nikki Hill, from her latest Heavy Hearts, Hard Fists project. It's the tune, Oh My.
Hi, this is Nikki Hill, and you're listening to the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour with Jammin' James Riley.
Oliver here from the Hillbilly Moon Explosion, and enjoying a glass of excellent Tennessee whiskey and listening to the absolutely fabulous Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour with Jammin' James Riley. Cheers, everyone.
Well, in Clarksville, down in the Delta, they call the land of the cotton, they call the land of the blues. Well, the folks down there ain't got a nickel to spare, but on Saturday night they hit the juke joints, and here's what they do. Everybody boogie, everybody boogie.
That's the Hillbilly Moon Explosion and Clarksdale Boogie from their debut project. Introducing Hillbilly Moon Explosion. Now, we get lots of requests for that band, and that's an easy request to fulfill here on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. Now, up next is an artist you may just recognize from the movies. Her film debut was playing the title character of Annie in 1982 and has appeared in several other films as well. Here's Eileen Quinn and the Leapin' Lizards from their album Spin Me, the tune When All Hell Breaks Loose.
Robert Gordon, and you're listening to Jam and James Riley on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour.
The way I walk is just the way I walk. The way I talk is just the way I talk. The way I smile is just the way I smile. Touch me, baby, and I go home wild. The way I love is just the way I love. Come on and be my little turtle dove. Touch me, baby, it feels so good. I feel as though I wanna, then I don't know if I should.
Do you, 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 me got to suit my style. Oh, little baby, I will say goodbye. Love me, baby, love me right. Love me morning, noon, and night.
Do you, 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 do you,
thank you.
The Las Vegas 19 is April 14th through the 17th at the Orleans Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas, featuring guitar legend Dick Dale. Brian Setzer's Rockabilly Riot.
There's a rockin' in Brighton tonight.
The Polecats.
Make a circuit with me.
The Stars of Rockabilly Show with Sleepy LaBeef. The Doo-Wop All-Star Show with Bobby Hendricks, Jack Scott, Rocky Burnett and Daryl Higham, Big Sandy and his Fly Ride Boys, Dave Phillips and the Hot Rod Gang, Jay Milano, Restless, and over 50 more artists.
But that's not all.
Burlesque Show, Deke's Guitar Geek Show, Car Show, Burlesque Bingo, Pool Parties, and so much more. It's Viva Las Vegas 19. For tickets and information, go to VivaLasVegas.net and we'll see you there.
There's a rumble in Brighton tonight.
We're back on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour, and just a moment ago we heard Robert Gordon with Link Wray on guitar and their cover of Jack Scott's The Way I Walk. Now coming up in just a moment, we'll be talking with Pat Stack and Brent Huff from It's a Rockabilly World documentary. Now let's hear a tune from that documentary from 1959. It's Larry Don and Honey Bun.
And I went to see my little girl last night. Yeah, I went to see my little girl last night. Oh, how she thrills me when she holds me tight. Well, now, honey, honey, bun. Yeah, honey, honey, bun. Do bum 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 bum, honey, honey, bun. Yeah, honey, honey, bun. She's my sugar and she's my fire.
Hey, it's Jammin' James Riley, and on the phone, the gentleman responsible for this great new documentary. It's a Rockabilly World. We've got director Brent Huff and producer Patrick Stack. Welcome to the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour, gentlemen.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask this of both of you guys. I want to get a little bit of a background on just some things that you've done in the past so our listeners can get to know you a little bit better. We'll start with Brent Huff. We'll put him on the hot seat first. Just tell us a little bit about your background, where you live at these days. We'll get to Patrick as well here in a moment.
Well, I'm originally from Missouri, but I moved out to Los Angeles over 25 years ago to be an actor. I was doing pretty well as an actor, but I wasn't getting a lot of the scripts that I wanted to do, so I decided to write my own script. And I got an actor named James Brolin to help me produce my first movie as a director and writer, so I sort of took off from there. And I've been doing mostly scripted features as a director for the last 20 years. And then 3 years ago, I did my first documentary about the ugly side of the modeling business called Chasing Beauty. And it came out and it did really well on iTunes and Netflix. And the second documentary was Behind the Orange Curtain, which sort of illuminates the prescription drug abuse among rich teenagers in Orange County, California. And it's a lot of these kids are, you know, taking Oxycontin and a drug called Opana, and they're overdosing. So it's a really, you know, sad thing. So it's two kind of complete different documentaries. And a couple of years ago, Pat Stack, who's the producer, and Pat and I have done two movies together that he produced and I wrote and direct. One was called Cat City, a film noir thriller, and one was Welcome to Paradise, sort of a faith-based film. But Pat took me to a rockabilly event in Ventura, California, because Pat really likes the music. He's way, you know, really knows the rockabilly music, and I didn't know anything about rockabilly. But what fascinated me was this cast of colorful characters in the rockabilly world. So it wasn't just the great musicians and the guitar players and slap bass and snare drum, but it was the car culture, it was the pinup girls, it was the tattoos, it was the style, the 50 style, the pomade hair that the guys had. It was a show, and it's this really great subculture that I wanted to learn more about and sort of, you know, pry into, pull the curtain back on that. And that's sort of the impetus of it's a rockabilly world for me.
That's cool. Well, Patrick, tell us a little bit about your background, and then we'll jump into this great documentary.
Yeah, like Brent, I came out to California. I came out here in about 1980, actually from the East Coast. Nathan Lane and I were a comedy team, and we had been in New York for about 3 years and had signed with William Morris, and they said, you want to come out to California and get exposure. And we had developed a comedy team to get exposure as actors. And we came out, and that lasted about another 3 years. We had a lot of fun work. We opened for people like Air Supply and Al Jarreau and Eddie Rabbit, and we did all the TV shows. But he wanted to get back to New York. I thought there was more opportunity for me here in L.A. I continued to pursue an acting career until about 1990. I had done some films like Rambo, First Blood, and FX, and TV, and commercials, and things like that. But it was not as satisfying as I had hoped. I wanted to raise a family. I wanted to get married. They have kids. Didn't want to live in a car, so I thought I ought to get a real job. And I got into ad sales. One thing led to another. I got into the internet very early on, where I sold the first ads on Yahoo in 1995, which was pretty interesting and pretty heady times. So after many years, I'll say 5 years of 16 to 18 hour days and being burned out, I kind of took what money I had from Yahoo and left and decided I wanted to get back into entertainment and be a producer. And I got an office for myself at Sony Pictures and started optioning some scripts. One of the scripts I optioned was Welcome to Paradise. Actually, it was called The Glory Forever at the time, written by Brent Hough and William Shockley. And it turns out Brent and I kind of peripherally knew each other over the years through basketball. A couple of friends of ours used to run these games. And anyway, I decided that was going to be the first film that I produced, which we did. And as Brent mentioned, we did another one together as a feature film. And I've always enjoyed rockabilly music, and the scene is wild. And documentaries are a little bit easier to get your arms around in terms of production. You don't need as much money. You don't need as much prep. You don't need a lot of stuff. You can go out with a camera and a good idea, and with a lot of sweat equity, you can come back with a movie. And that appealed to me, as it obviously has to Brent. So here we are 2 years after starting this venture, about ready to start sending our movie out. And that movie, of course, is It's a Rockabilly World.
Brent, you said you weren't familiar with rockabilly, and Patrick, you were. You know, when you guys were digging into this,
That's interesting. I come from Philadelphia, Princeton, Missouri, and he had never heard of rockabilly.
Yeah.
There you go.
I heard of it. I didn't know much about the culture. And I knew, you know, the Stray Cat from rockabilly, and I knew the hairstyle.
Yeah.
But that's basically it, you know. And I didn't even know, like, Elvis or Carl Perkins. That was kind of rockabilly. I didn't know. More hillbilly where I grew up.
Yeah. Once you guys started getting into this, did your opinions change of maybe what you thought, Patrick, or like what you thought you knew of rockabilly? And Brent, you definitely said this kind of opened up a new world to you. Were things changed a little bit once you guys started getting into this?
I was just going to say, again, I'd always been a fan of the music, but prior to inviting Brent up to this Johnny Cash revival show in Ventura, California, I had gone to a couple of other rockabilly shows because of all the people in this space, my favorite contemporary, and at least in terms of still playing now, has always been Robert Gordon. And I used to see him perform quite a bit at the Lone Star Cafe in New York, where I worked as a bartender for a number of years. And when he would come out to California to play in these shows, I would like to go. And again, I was so taken aback by the look and the feel of all rockabilly. Again, the music was one thing, but as Brent mentioned, when you go to these shows and you see the people that are all in, I mean, this is the way they dress and act and the cars they drive. I thought that was pretty cool. So that was a big eye opener once we got into this, talking to people who are in the life, so to speak.
That's true. I mean, there are people, and we've talked about this. I got to spend some time with both of you guys at Viva Las Vegas in April, and there are people that are all in with the hair and the clothes and cars and everything else. And then there's people that are just parts of it, you know, but music is kind of the thread through most of the different lifestyles and stuff. Brent, what was most eye-opening for you?
It was sort of how all these different aspects of the rockabilly world come together. The music, like you say, is the driving force, so that counts. But I don't know that these events would be near as big if there wasn't the car clubs.
Yeah.
And by most car clubs, it's mostly Hispanic, and they seem to love the music. And then there's the pinup girls. And we have all three of them together, it makes for a great event. So it's just these different aspects of rockabilly. And then there's the psychobilly, which I'd never heard of before.
Yeah, that's true.
The people that are in the punk culture went over to psychobilly. The people... it's all inclusive. They'll let you know, they're really friendly. It's a good time. It's a party group. It's mostly alcohol, Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Yeah. So
it's, and then there's, you go there and you get your hair cut. You get the, you know, pomade in your hair for a guy. You get the high and tight or the shark fin. You know, you have to have your jeans. You have to dress a certain way. You know, you can't wear Wranglers or shorts. You got to have the, you know, the Levi's cuffed and, you know, the boots or the Converse. And I just found it fascinating. It's sort of like, you know, with bodybuilders has their own subculture. The Trekkies have their own subculture. The people who are into dolls and go to doll conventions have their own subculture. And subcultures in general fascinate me. So this was just, these people were cool with it. And one of the things, we talk to a lot of pinup girls, and it gives them a lot of confidence. You can either be any shape, any size, and feel sexy and dress up, and it's a costume party. And it, you know, a lot of girls say in the movie, it turns a lot of heads, and girls like to turn heads, and it absolutely does. And the guys, you know, they have to be put together. It's a costume party. You know, you were, James, we met you in Las Vegas. You saw it. It's like a huge costume party with music, cars, pinups, and tattoos as a backdrop.
It is, you know, for some people that it is an all-inclusive thing, it's just an extension of their world. But then I think there's a huge part of it that it is a bit of an escape from reality. It's a comfortable escape from reality for a lot of people as well, too. But you're right. It is very much a dress-up event.
And a lot of them talk. They still say, hey, daddy-o. And that was like in the 50s. And we talked to a lot that said they really felt that they were born in the wrong era, that they should have been around in the 50s.
Yeah,
it was a better time.
I've felt that way about myself a lot of times, to be honest.
Real job. Smile, baby, just as hard as you can. You're gonna get a reputation as a lover man. Yeah, you'll be glad every night if you just treat her right.
So you weren't able to make it out to your favorite festival this year.
Or you forgot to buy your favorite band's t-shirt in concert.
Or you just can't get enough of cool merchandise from the rockabilly scene. Rocking Merch is the place for you. The official online store for Viva Las Vegas Rockabilly Weekend. As well as pomade, CDs, records, DVDs, and other merchandise from some of your favorite rockabilly artists. Find them online at rockingmerch.com. It's your one-stop shop for all your rockabilly needs. Hey, this is Jam and James Riley, and just a moment ago we heard Switchblade 3 with Treat Her Right. That's a tune featured in the upcoming documentary, It's a Rockabilly World, from that documentary film. Director Brent Huff and producer Pat Stack are our guests this hour. Now, Patrick, you mentioned Robert Gordon, and you know, we've talked about like the late 70s being a rockabilly revival of Robert Gordon and stuff that led into Levi and the Rockettes and the Polecats and Stray Cats and even the Blasters, you know, stuff that kind of came out of that movement. It really was pretty much all about the music at that point. The rockabilly revival these days, like you guys have mentioned, is as equally big on the car scene, equally big on the pinup scene as well too, but they all do kind of connect, which is an interesting thing.
Yeah, I think there are those people under the umbrella of rockabilly, and I call it an umbrella because of those three elements, and then add the tattoos, something that's
absolutely
also part of the culture now. And there might be some safety in numbers, and I think you probably have purists in each camp that really want nothing to do with the other folks, but in the spirit of a lot of people getting together and celebrating the music and the life and everything that went into living in the 1950s, or at least what they think about living in the 1950s, you have these groups, again, all under the circus tent of rockabilly. But we have a girl in a pinup and Elvis impersonator in our film who talks about what she calls the silly billies. They are, in her words, the posers, not the ones that are all in, but kind of dress up and have fun. And she does that it's a big world, and people can drop in and drop out as they choose. And there are those people that really go all for it, and the tattoos, and you wake them up at 3 o'clock in the morning and they've got a pompadour. So it's a pretty interesting group. But you're right, back then in the 70s, it was, I mean, at least what I understood, to be strictly the music. But there was a look. I
mean, sure, yeah.
See him on the streets in New York. He was rocking that pompadour, and it was pretty cool.
Well, tell me about some of the characters that you guys, once you started filming, you know, some of the characters that started popping up that were maybe more interesting than some others, or things that may be a little surprising to you there.
Well, I think the first thing is Ventura. We hadn't been there very long, and Pat pointed out there was a guy across the way, his entire face was tattooed.
Yeah.
His entire face. And that was sort of like, we got to do something about, do a film about him. So we went over and met this guy. His name is Teddy Boy Gregg. And he's considered the most hated man in rockabilly. And he knows it, and he loves that title. And pretty much anybody in the scene knows who he is. And they go, oh, he's a jerk, this, that, and the other. And the more that people call out of that, the more he loves it. and he's a barber. He does rockabilly. He's a master barber. It's actually got a barber pole tattooed on his nose. So he was one of our first characters. And then it went from there, and we met a girl named Candy Kay at the Lake Havasu Rockabilly reunion. And she's this beautiful, stunningly beautiful English girl who's got tattoos everywhere. And then we met a Danny B. Harvey, who's an amazing guitar player. And Danny B. helped introduce us to other people in the scene. And it sort of went from there. And then
Yeah. That
you could tell some of the other people we met.
Yeah, I have to be honest, I won't say my favorite, but certainly one of my top favorites in our film is a guy named Jimmy Angel.
Yeah.
And we met Jimmy, we were at a place called Viva Cantina, which is a funky little Mexican restaurant bar with a couple of entertainment areas in Burbank. And we were there one night to actually see Danny B. Harvey play. We're sitting at the bar waiting for Danny to go on, and this guy walks by and who is all in black. He's got the Roy Orbison look. He's got hair that looks like Elvis, but he's probably about 5'4" tall.
Yeah.
And Fred and I look at each other and say, oh, who is this guy? Well, we got to meet him. And we met him, and he had his portfolio with him just in case anybody would be interested in asking about his life story, and he was ready to go. And 30 minutes later, he became a big part, or at least in our plans, a big part of It's a Rockabilly World. Jimmy Angel is now 80 years old. He still performs. He sounds fantastic. I don't know where he gets the energy from. He drinks milk on stage. I don't know if that's a tip of the hat to his mentor, Pat Boone, or not, but the guy's incredible. But he started in the 50s, and he's got stories that you just can't believe. So,
well, one thing, he doesn't know how to read or write.
He can't read or write. No.
Wow.
No. But he can
but
sing.
He could sing and he could deliver. And in his words, which are featured in the film, he wants to be remembered as a 50s pop cat, and he wants to make a difference. He wants to get America back. So at 80 years old, he's still out there doing gigs, waiting for his fortune to return. He had a fairly decent career in the 50s and 60s, and like a lot of those guys, it went sideways. And he was in Japan for a while, and he's back now trying to eke out a living and keep performing. And there you go. So it's a pretty eclectic group that we feature in this film, not just singers and musicians, but people involved in the pit-up side, people involved in the car side, people involved in the business side,
yeah.
Not only in retail, but we have a record producer who is interviewed. We have a guy who produced two Stray Cat albums. It's a really, I think, inclusive look at this world. It's a great way to present to the world what rockabilly is all about.
Fever tonight. All right. Well, oh, baby, the skirt so wears so nicely and fits so tightly. Well, oh, baby, you sure got everything right. Oh, just right. Well, I'm telling ya, I got a fever tonight. I wanna kiss you, hold you tight. I come on, baby.
fever tonight. And I'm a telling ya, baby, you got the fever in me tonight. Night, night, night. Right, hey, baby.
That's Jimmy Angel with Love Fever. Now, Jimmy, of course, is in the It's a Rockabilly World documentary. We're speaking with Brent Huff and Patrick Stack. There's a big international influence, too, which might be surprising to people. Huge all over the world. And you guys talk to a lot of people from other countries.
Oh, yeah. It's global. In fact, that's one of the chapters in our documentary, Global, because it is worldwide. And one of my favorite characters is the Japanese guitar player. James, you actually saw him play with Switchblade 3.
Yeah.
At the Las Vegas. Ichiro Sako, who learned about rock and roll from watching Back to the Future. Marty McFly was an influence.
That's amazing.
He's amazing. So he came over here, learned how to play guitar. He says, if you want to learn judo, or if you want to learn how to be a sushi chef, you go to Japan. If you want to learn how to rock and roll, you come here.
Yeah.
And that's why he's here. And you heard him. He's an amazing guitar player.
Unbelievable. Switchblade 3, just fantastic. Yeah.
He's unbelievable. People will be amazed when they see the movie how good this guy is. So we wanted to get a little B-roll of Ichiro rather than just, just him playing guitar. So Pat asked him, I said, well, do you have any other talents? He goes, well, I do tap dance. We went to the subway in L.A., in North Hollywood, turned to the subway station, and he's an amazing tap dancer. And we said, how'd you learn how to do that? He said, from watching Sammy Davis Jr. videos on YouTube.
That's great.
He's great. Yeah, but anyway, and then the other guy, Brad Heyman from Switchblade 3, he's from Australia. The scene's all over the world. It's big in South America now. It's big in Japan. It's everywhere.
And I think it's something that you see, especially at a place like Viva Las Vegas or, you know, Ink and Iron or some of the other festivals here in America, where people do come from all over the world. And I've felt it here in Tennessee often. Especially out in Memphis, you go there and the people, literally their one thing to do in life is to go see where Elvis and Johnny Cash and Jerry Lee Lewis, all these people recorded. It's pretty eye-opening. So tell me about the goal, what you're wanting to accomplish with this documentary.
Well, we just want people to be aware that there is this subculture out there. And I think when people see this movie, subculture is not for everyone, but I think a lot of people could see this and have a connection. And there are people in our movie, one named singer named Dominic Pruitt, who's it's changed your life. Not that our documentary is going to change a lot of lives, but it could be something that people see and go, that's for me. I'm interested in that. And worst case scenario, it's a train wreck that you can't take your eyes off of. But we hope it's entertaining. I think it is. You'll get something out of it. You'll learn more about rockabilly, unless you're a true rockabilly purist. You'll learn more about rockabilly than you ever thought you would. I'm not a rockabilly guy, but I thoroughly enjoyed this subculture and these people. They're just fun to watch. It's a fun group and talented people, creative people that leave it all out there.
That's cool.
I was going to say, I think the bottom line for a lot of these people is they have an awful lot of fun. Why a subculture is attracting in the first place, I don't know. Some of these people may have been on the fringe of society and felt they couldn't fit in, but get a lot of these people together, like in Aviva or in Ink and Iron or even in a club, and the music is a great beat. It's impossible to sit down. And people have an awful lot of fun, and I think it's a big attraction for the folks who are in the game. And Fred and I want to keep making movies, and you like to make movies about things that interest you. And so, you know, from a financial standpoint, certainly we hope this does well. I think it's out there. But it was a lot of fun making, too. And, you know, the people we met along the way, including you, have just been great and fun.
This is fantastic. And I definitely think it's something that people will connect with. And whether it is at the forefront in their mind and they have lived this life, or they've been searching and they realize, hey, you know what? This is for me. This defines who I am, which I think is really cool. Now, you've got a soundtrack coming out through Cleopatra Records. Is there a release date for that, as well as also the movie?
Not yet, on either count.
Okay.
I can tell you, we're in the process of signing up with the producer's rep who will help us market this film, not only to broadcast entities, but through video on demand and streaming and foreign. And you mentioned Cleopatra Records, who we met, Brian Pereira, who is the founder of Cleopatra, through Danny B. Harvey. And as you said, he will be distributing the DVD, most likely, as well as a CD.
Okay.
And we may do two soundtracks, actually. A pure soundtrack from the film, of which I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Brent, we have 23 or 24 different songs featured.
Yeah, something like that.
In the film. And we may do that and then release another called It's a Rockabilly World, where we compile other music that we weren't able to get into the film, but stuff that we just love.
Yeah.
And would love to be able to use. So.
Music inspired by the film.
Right.
There you go. There you go. That's it.
Well, gentlemen, I appreciate the time. This is really exciting, and we'll continue to talk about this as developments occur. And just it's great to kind of get a background on this documentary and your experiences to it, too, which is really cool.
Well, James, fantastic. I appreciate the time. Thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And let us know when you're coming back out here to the left coast.
You got it.
Someone told me about a gypsy woman, said she could get inside my head. I went down to the spooky side of town so I could have my fortune read. And she said, I think your heart is gonna pound when I tell you what I found. Make sure that you're sitting down for what I have. Say my prediction is he will be your destiny. A tall dark stranger is falling for you hopelessly. You don't even need a crystal ball to see, so don't be sad, he's got it bad. I didn't know what to make of this, I didn't know what I should do. So I told my best gal all about it, said this must sound crazy to you, but it's true. She said, you must be doing something right, why would you put up a fight? Anyway, it's Friday night, so let's go hit the town. My prediction is he will be your destiny. A tall dark stranger is falling for crystal ball to see, so don't be sad, he's got it bad. I didn't know just where or when the moment I was waiting for would be. I couldn't see, but then I opened up my eyes and saw him standing in the shadows. There he was, just looking back at me. The prediction was he would be my destiny. The tall dark stranger has fallen for me hopelessly. I don't even need a crystal ball to see.
The Lewis family doesn't have to perfect the rock and roll attitude, because they invented it. The queen of the pumping piano is back, and she's just getting started.
He's a real bad boy, and he's sweet on me. He's my good rocking bass. He's my hard rocking man.
Linda Gail Lewis makes her Landmark Records debut with Hard Rockin' Woman.
Now pretty soon you're gonna see. Wish you never heard of me. Cause I battle with the bottles of the problems with my gun.
featuring a stellar band, including guitars by Danny B. Harvey and Quentin Jones, as well as backing vocals by her daughter, Annie Marie Lewis.
Heartbreak happens, and I might lose control.
Linda Gail Lewis, Hard Rockin' Woman, produced by Quentin Jones on Lanark Records.
Hi, I'm John Stamos, and you're listening to the Rockabilly Blues Radio Hour with Jammin' James Riley.
Your source for rockabilly, blues, surf, roots, early country, and rock and roll. This is the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. Now, we just heard Dominic Pruitt with He's Got It Bad. It's a song heard in the documentary movie It's a Rockabilly World from that documentary. We had Brent Huff and Patrick Stack earlier talking about that. Special thanks, guys, for spending the time with us. Another artist that they referenced in the interview is a longtime friend of the show, and that's Danny B. Harvey. He has a new instrumental available from Lanark Records as part of their 52 Singles in 52 Weeks campaign. Here's Down in Texas.
Hi, this is Danny B. Harvey, and you're listening to the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour with Jammin' James Riley.
This is Eddie Cochran, speaking from the station with a big sound all year round.
Jelly bean, jelly bean. Well, that's the name I picked for you. And it fits you to a T. Gonna tell you why it's true. Cause you're sweet and small and round, and I'm ready to the pound, jelly bean. Well, there's a lives in our block, whose name is Kelly Carr. Each night he comes down the street a packing his guitar. He stops at Jenny Bean's house, that pretty little thing. He bows his head, he bends his knees, you ought to hear him sing. Jelly Bean, Jelly Bean, that's the name we pick for you, and it fits you to a T. Bean comes to the window, she listens for a while. Never even blinks her eyes or offers him a smile. She tosses up her pretty curls, and as she turns to go, he stops his guitar one more time and sings his tale of woe.
Jelly Bean, Jelly Bean, but that's the name I picked for you. And it fits you to a T. I'm gonna tell you why it's true. Cause you're sweet and small and round, and I'm plenty to the pound, Jelly Bean.
That's the great Eddie Cochran with Jelly Bean. Now let's keep the rock rolling with Nico DePorto and his Rhythm Dudes and their cover of Big Mary's on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour.
Going down to Big Mary's. Going down to Big Mary's. Going down to Big Mary's house. That's where the lovers meet. Going down to Big Mary's. Going down to Big Mary's. Going down to Big Mary's house. That's where the lovers meet. We're gonna roll by the ruts, turn off the lights, get real high, stay all night. Down to Big Mary's, down to Big Mary's, down to Big Mary's house, that's where the lovers meet. Drumming my flesh began to crawl. Down to Big Mary's. Down to Big Mary's. Down to Big Mary's house. That's where the lovers
took along that gal of mine.
Tetherwood bowed down.
She was looking mighty fine.
Tetherwood bowed down. Tetherwood bowed down. Tetherwood bowed down. All the way down to the ground. Now Tetherwood bowed down.
Up in that county jail.
Tetherwood bowed down.
Had no one to go my bail.
Tetherwood bowed down.
That old judge said 90 days.
Tetherwood bowed down.
Boy, you better change your ways.
Tetherwood bowed down. Tetherwood bowed down. Tetherwood bowed down. All the way down to the ground. Now Tetherwood bowed down.
Thank you.
Dallas in a bag.
Tetherwood Pop Down.
Think I'll run for president.
Tetherwood Pop Down.
Now I won't have to pay no rent.
Tetherwood Pop Down. Tetherwood Pop Down. Tetherwood Pop Down. All the way down to the ground. Now Tetherwood Pop Down.
Marty Stewart and his fabulous superlatives would tear the woodpile down. Hey, you've been listening to the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. Find out more info about how you can be a supporter of the show, like Lori Klein and Greg Carter and some others. Rockabillyandblues.com. It's Rockabilly, the letter N, blues.com. You can also find out more about the It's a Rockabilly World documentary. It's a rockabillyworld.com. Hey, stay tuned for more great stuff coming in the future. That is a promise. Until then, it's Jam and James Riley saying keep on rockin'.